You have your copies of God's Word. If you would open them, please, to Luke chapter 24. Our text today, Luke 24 and verses 1 through 12. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for his love for us. And Lord, as we read today and begin to, in these next sections, hear of his victory over sin and death and hell, Lord, the great confidence that it gives us as your people. Lord, teach us by your word, we pray. Lord, help us to understand even more, the love of Christ for his people. Lord, help us to grow in our faith. Lord, help us this day, we pray, to hear your voice, your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Last week we saw the tremendous events, miraculous happenings that attended the death of Jesus Christ, his death for us in our place, bearing the wrath of God in the place of sinners. But our salvation depends on more than that. Christ's death and his resurrection are essential to our salvation. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 6, verse 5, "If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was raised to life on the third day. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that when Jesus Christ returns, that your body, if Christ delays that long, that your body will lie in the grave? Perhaps nothing more than dust? Perhaps washed away by the sands of time? Do you believe that when Christ returns, that that body of yours will come forth from the grave? A glorious resurrection body like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ? You've heard that, but do you wonder about some of those things? Do you doubt? I don't know how that could be. You know, the disciples, these women, these followers of Christ, had heard of Christ's approaching death and his resurrection. They'd heard that numbers of times. But here, that early Sunday morning, they're just wondering what happened. You know, we left last week, these women, they had observed the death of Christ. They had seen Joseph and Nicodemus take his body from the cross and prepare it for burial. They had seen the tomb where Jesus was laid, and they'd gone home to prepare more spices and more perfumes with which to anoint the body of Jesus. There's a strange mixture of devotion and doubt in that. There's great devotion. They're going to continue to show respect, and as their burial procedures were, they're going to anoint the body again and again for a couple of days. And they've gathered these spices and these perfumes, very costly things. And they're preparing all this to anoint a body that Jesus told them would not be there. They're confused. They don't know what to make of this. Like the disciples, they're confused about all these things that have happened. Jesus told them, truly, numbers of times, I must go to Jerusalem, be handed over to the Gentiles, and be put to death, and on the third day be raised from the dead. All they knew was that Jesus had died and had been buried. And we need to be careful as we read the scripture, as we look at our theology, and as we study what we're looking at today and what we read today, we don't need to read into it 2,000 years of experience. We don't need to get our theology from songs. Choir sang a beloved song earlier this morning, one we sing every year at Easter. But there's a phrase in that song that says, an empty tomb is there to prove my Savior lives. The empty tomb in and of itself doesn't prove any such thing. Mary thought the body of Jesus had been stolen or had been moved. And Peter just went home wondering what in the world had happened. The empty tomb did not signify that at all to them, because they had forgotten or not believed what the Lord had said. And you know, this is a common problem with the followers of Christ, even today. The scripture tells us many things. The Lord commands us to do many things. How many of those things do we really, truly believe? How many of those things do we make part of our life and our plans for today? I'm going to get these spices, and I'm going to take them and anoint the body of the Lord. Even though he told me he wasn't going to be there. That's kind of the way we go about our plans each day. We look at these things. We often don't think about what the Lord has truly said. Even in times of trouble. Even in times of sadness and grief. Sometimes we have to be reminded of what the Lord said. That's exactly what happens here. As these women are pondering what in the world happened, they know where Jesus was buried. They were eyewitnesses of this. They were faithful there at the cross and stayed there the whole time he suffered and died, and they saw his body taken down and prepared for burial and put in the tomb. They knew exactly where he was. And now they come to the tomb and he's not there. And all kind of thoughts are running through their mind. You know how it is when something like this really just throws you off. Your mind starts racing to all kind of, well, maybe this and maybe that. They're thinking maybe the body of Christ was moved, or maybe it was stolen. And as they're thinking these thoughts, suddenly two angels appear to them. And they remind them. They say, why are you looking for the Lord here? He's not here. He has risen. Remember, they said, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Then they left the tomb to go see the apostles, to tell them, to tell the 11 disciples what had happened. And we know from the other gospel accounts that on the way, Jesus appeared to Mary and some of the other women. And they come to the disciples who are hiding out for fear of their own lives. They've taken and killed the leader of this band, and the disciples can only imagine that that's what lies in store for them. But the women come, and they tell them that the tomb is empty, that Jesus has risen. And all this seems like nonsense to the disciples. You know, how can that be? They had been with Jesus this whole time, and they had heard numerous times what Jesus had told them about his death and his resurrection. It seems like nonsense to them. They can't understand how such a thing can be. And to a man, they reject the women's testimony. Well, almost to a man. Peter gets up and runs to the tomb. Peter, the impulsive one, he runs to the tomb. He looks inside. And all he sees is the strips of cloth with which Jesus' body was wrapped for burial. He looks around. He doesn't see Jesus. And notice, Peter does not cry out, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." He goes home wondering what in the world has happened. How can that be? But this is the question. This is the question that hangs over this part of the resurrection story. This is the question. Where's the body? That's what's going through everyone's mind right now. Where's the body? It's not here. You see, this is the starting point of the resurrection story. We, because of our knowledge of the rest of the story, because of all the things we've learned in church throughout our life, we already know what's going to happen, right? These people do not. You have to put yourself in the shoes of Peter or Mary. Where is the body of Christ? They know one thing. He died on Friday. He was prepared for burial and put in that tomb, and a big stone rolled across it. It was sealed by the Romans at the insistence of the priest, and a Roman guard guarded the tomb. And now it's Sunday and he's not there. That's what they know. What in the world is happening here? There is wonder and doubt. They're wondering what has happened. I don't know the thoughts that could be going through their mind. They're certainly not reflecting on the words Jesus told them. But the answer is found in these words. The words that the angels spoke to them. This is the answer. He's not here. He has risen. Why are you here? Why are you here looking for the living among the dead? Why are you here looking for the Son of the living God among the dead? Colossians chapter 1, tells us. Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. He is the first one to be resurrected from the dead with this glorious resurrection body. But you know, unbelief can spread. It can be a thing that permeates your life, your thoughts. Jesus had told these people on numerous occasions, we're going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. They did not believe that. Number one, they didn't want to believe it. Number two, it wasn't what they'd been taught all their life. They just didn't want to believe it. We know in one instance that Peter protested that such a thing would even happen. When you start with unbelief, how can you handle some of the other things that you learn and see along the way? As God reveals other things to you, how can you believe them? What about people who say this is not really inspired? It's not really God's word. It's not really infallible. What can they believe out of it? Well, they believe some of the things they choose to believe, and they reject others. When you start with a little unbelief of what God has said, it spreads, it permeates, and it affects your whole life. That's what happened here. There was a lot of wondering going on that Sunday morning. And we may wonder, you may wonder, how in the world these people who'd been with Jesus, who had heard the very word of God from his mouth, could doubt, could wonder about these things. But when you think about that, all I would ask you to do is think about the church today. About the church, about the Christian church, about people who call themselves Christians who doubt God's word, who reject certain parts of it. Some don't even buy the whole idea of angels at all. That's just a figment of the imagination of some illiterate people 2,000 years ago. They reject that whole idea. They reject the idea of the virgin birth of Christ. They reject the idea that he was two natures, fully God and fully man in one person. They reject the idea of his substitutionary atonement. They even reject the idea of the resurrection. People who call themselves Christians and theologians reject these ideas. When you start with a little unbelief, you wonder about some of these things, not in a sense of wonder, but wondering if they're true. This is the result. And we've seen it come to fruition in the church. We can criticize these folks for not knowing and understanding what Jesus meant. I mean, they're looking at the empty tomb. Of course he's risen. You're reading back into it something from your experience. You're not there now we're after dawn on Sunday morning. They're wondering what in the world has happened. Put yourself in the church today in many places and you have to wonder what in the world has happened too. What's happened? A little inattention to God's word. A little unbelief of God's word. And you have this wondering doubt that just spreads like a cancer. So where are you this morning? Are you wondering? Do you have doubt? Or are you secure in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures and was raised on the third day? Do you believe that your only hope is in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Christ alone is the hope for sinners. The author of Hebrews poses a question. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation. It was declared first by the Lord and attested to us by those who heard, and God also bore witness by signs and wonders. If you're going to ignore all that, how in the world will you escape? How will you escape the judgment of God? Because that is the way, the only way. This is the ground of all true preaching: the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the truth of His Word, witnessed to by myriads of people down through the ages now, but attested to by God by great signs and wonders and miracles which we've seen over the last 2 weeks. This is where we are. This is where you must be. Do you believe that? Jesus said, "Because I live, you also will live." That's the promise of Scripture. That's the promise from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So do you believe that? Or are you wondering and doubting? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the testimony, the truthfulness of Your Word. Lord, Your Word is complete and full. Not one jot or tittle of it shall ever be proven to be untrue. And yet, Lord, we, like the disciples, like these followers of Christ, waver sometimes, wonder and doubt sometimes. Lord, heal our unbelief, we pray. Strengthen our faith. Lord, teach us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we see things. We see Your hand at work. But like the disciples, oftentimes we have to wonder and doubt. Lord, strengthen our faith, we pray. Lord, strengthen us that we might be a powerful witness of the gospel. Lord, that we might indeed testify to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we might rejoice. As the Lord Himself prayed to You the night before His crucifixion, He prayed for us that we would be with Him where He is, that we might see His glory. Lord, that is our hope. We know that is true. Lord, help us not to waver. Help us not to doubt when the world piles on, when the temptations and the persecution and the hardships mount. Lord, help us to keep our eye fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Lord, may the world see, and may they wonder. May they wonder at the hope that we have. May we be ever prepared to give them that answer and that reason for Your own glory and honor. We ask these things in Christ's name, for His sake. Amen.